estamos listos. Very good to be with you this morning. Y otra vez, muchas gracias a Susana para ayudarme. Sin ella yo no puedo predicar o enseñar a ustedes. So, muchas gracias a Susana. Anyway, this morning, we're going to talk about who is Jesus. You know, there's a lot of ideas about who Jesus is. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked Peter, "Who do people say I am?" Some people say that Jesus is a good teacher, a nice guy, one of the better guys who ever lived. Right up there with, say, Muhammad or Buddha. Muhammad or Buddha or other great teachers. Some people say he was crazy. Some people say he was a liar. But what did Jesus say? But what did Peter say? In Matthew 16, Peter said, "You're the Messiah." So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at some of the prophecies about Jesus. And even some of the miracles that Jesus worked. And we're going to ask, what's a reasonable conclusion? One thing, if you look in the book of Acts, which is the beginning of the church, of course, the sermons had a similar outline. Los predicos, they had the same outline, the same... They said Jesus fulfilled the prophecies of the Messiah. And therefore he's the Messiah. And then they said Jesus worked miracles. Therefore he's the Lord. And then he was raised from the dead. Therefore he's the Savior. Then they said, repent and be baptized. And some of you still need to repent and be baptized. But the question is, what's the reasonable conclusion about Jesus? Now in Luke 24, verse 44, Jesus said, so the question is Jesus who said he was? Is Jesus es Jesús que dice? And what's a reasonable conclusion? Now what we're going to do here, we're going to pretend that we're a skeptic. Maybe some of you are actually skeptics. So we're going to say, "Oh, I don't know if I believe that." We're going to say, "I have a few questions." First question. How do I know these things were really written down many years before? Maybe what happened, the apostles, they wrote it down afterward. So they're not really prophecies. Now let me answer that question. Because the Bible was translated from the Hebrew to the Greek around 200 BC. And we have have evidence of that translation. So if it was translated into the Greek about 250 years before Jesus, could the Jews, could the apostles have changed that? Also, there's the Dead Sea Scrolls. This is one of the caves where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. They found the entire scroll of Isaiah. From 200 years before. And it's exactly like the one that we read today. And besides, do you think the Christians could convince the Jews to change their Bible to make it look like Jesus was the Messiah? I don't think that makes very much sense. So we know for sure that these prophecies are at least 250 years before Jesus. 250. And probably much before that. In fact, most of these prophecies were 500 years before Jesus. That's a long time. What was happening here in Mexicali 500 years ago? I don't think very much was going on. Now, Columbus came to America about 500 years ago. That's a long time ago. And that's how long before Jesus came these prophecies were written. And even before that. Now, again, we're being a skeptic. And we ask, well, how do I know these things really happened? Maybe the Christians made it up to make it look like Jesus was Messiah. Now there's a problem with that. Because some of the historians wrote about Jesus. For example, Josephus. He was a Jew. He didn't like Jesus. But what did he write? So one thing for sure we know. Una cosa que is that Jesus was killed by Pilate on the cross. In fact, we're going to look at several prophecies, and almost all of these prophecies are confirmed by Roman historians or Jewish historians. So that's the second question. And the third question. The third question. How do we know that these things in the Old Testament, how do they know this was actually about the Messiah? Because Jesus said, I'm fulfilling all the prophecies about the Messiah. Well, how do we know they're prophecies of the Messiah? Well, let me give you an idea here. Because the Jews believed in a Messiah. In fact, they read the prophecies in their worship services. So if the Jews say it's a prophecy of the Messiah, then I guess we could accept that it's a prophecy of the Messiah. Now, here's an interesting fact. The Jews had a worship service where they would read the same thing on any week like the Catholics do. Like a schedule every... And many of the verses they would read were prophecies of the Messiah. But after Jesus came, they took those verses out of their worship service. Because people would hear that, and then they'd become a Christian. Question number four. Again, we're being a skeptic here. Well, maybe here's what Jesus did. Maybe he read the Old Testament in Zechariah. It says that the Messiah has to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. It says that in Zechariah 9. In Zechariah chapter 9. So maybe this is what Jesus did. He reads Zechariah 9. Says, all right, I want to be the Messiah. So I'm going to have a donkey ready. And then when I ride in on the donkey, then my people can say, see, he's the Messiah. Maybe that's what happened. There's a problem with this plan. Es un problema con este plan. Because some of the prophecies say that the Messiah had to be beaten. And the Messiah had to be killed on a cross. That's a bad plan. If Jesus says, yeah, I want to claim to be the Messiah. Alright, I'll come in on a donkey. Oh, but I also have to get killed. I don't know if I'm too excited about that plan. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of these prophecies. For example, in Isaiah 53. Now, first of all, the Jews agreed that this was a prophecy of the Messiah. And this prophecy was written 720 years before Christ. Let's look at just the first one. Now Jesus said, I'm going to fulfill all the prophecies of the Messiah. Now, did this happen? Was Jesus despised and rejected? Is that what happened? Yeah? Do we know that from history? Oh, there's no question about it. Oh, Jesus was despised and rejected. But remember, we're a skeptic. Maybe Jesus says, all right, I have to get despised and rejected. Maybe that's what it was. Because what did he say to the Pharisees? ¿Qué dice a fariseos? He says, you're a bunch of snakes. You're like whitewashed tombs. Like that might have gotten him despised and rejected. So I say to the skeptic, maybe you're right about that one. But then there's another verse in Isaiah. Versículo 5.
Pero fue traspasado a causa de nuestra rebeldía, fue atormentado a causa de nuestras maldades. El castigo que sufrió nos trajo la paz. Por sus heridas alcanzamos la salud.
So Isaiah said the Messiah would be pierced.
Isaías decía que el Mesías tenía que ser traspasado.
Now, was Jesus pierced? You know the story, right? You see, it was the time of the Passover. La Pascua. And the Jews said, we need to end all this. So they broke the legs of the thieves. But Jesus was already dead. So instead, the soldier took a spear and stabbed him in the side. El soldado, Now, could Jesus have arranged for this one? Maybe he said to the soldier, hey, look, after I die, do me a favor. Just a little favor. Please stab me in the side. Don't worry why. Just please do that for me. You think that's what happened? Or do you think maybe Jesus is the Messiah? The one who was prophesied about. And then there's a third one in Isaiah. Now, is this what happened to Jesus? You know what happened in his trial, yes? They said, defend yourself. And Jesus didn't defend himself. He was like a lamb who's silent. Is that what happened? That's exactly what happened. Why? Because Jesus was a willing sacrifice. Again, maybe Jesus read Isaiah. He said, I better be quiet. But because he was quiet, he got killed. Now, there's other prophecies as well. For example, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. According to this passage, written about 750 years before Christ, think about that, 750 years. It says the Messiah had to be born in Bethlehem. Now, how do I know this prophecy is about the Messiah? Well, the Jews said this was a prophecy of their Messiah. Because it says he's going to be ruler over Israel. Now, where was Jesus born? Born in Bethlehem. That's a historical fact. Now, could Jesus have arranged this prophecy to be fulfilled? That's kind of hard. Actually, he could. Because he's God. And then there's another prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9. Again, this is a prophecy about the Messiah, that's for sure. He'll be called Mighty Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. So it says the Messiah is going to come from the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. Right? So where's Zebulun and Naphtali? Here's Zebulun. And here's Naphtali. Now, here's a map of Judea in the time of Jesus. And look where Nazareth is. It's right on the border between Zebulun and Naphtali. That's where Nazareth is. Now think about this. How many people were born in Bethlehem but came from Nazareth? Anybody here qualified? In the whole history of all humans who ever lived, how many were born in Bethlehem but raised in Nazareth? Actually, there were two Bethlehems in Israel. Two. Dos Bethlehem. The smaller one is Bethlehem Ephrathah. Bethlehem Ephrathah. Okay. Now next, Psalm 22. Go ahead.
Como perro de presa me ha rodeado, me ha cercado una banda de malvados, me ha traspasado las manos y los pies. Puedo contar todos mis huesos, con satisfacción perversa la gente se detiene a mirarme. Se reparten entre ellos mis vestidos y sobre mi ropa echan suertes.
Now this is a prophecy of the Messiah. Imagine when David wrote this. He writes, "They pierced my hands and my feet." David. When he wrote that, he must have said, "Why did I write that?" And he says, I can count all my bones. He must have said to himself, why did I write that down? Now we know. Who was crucified? Jesus was crucified. This was written 1,000 years B.C. And crucifixion wasn't even invented until 300 B.C. So when David wrote this down, crucifixion didn't even exist. So how do you think David knew the Messiah would be crucified? The Persians invented crucifixion. Persios, los Persios. But they didn't pierce hands and feet. It was the Romans that invented that. About 150 years BC. Now, remember, Jesus wants to say, I'm the Messiah. So he's got to get crucified. Could Jesus have arranged to be crucified? Well, you know, if you said you were God in to the Jews, if you said before Abraham was born, I am, that would get you killed. But the Jews couldn't crucify. The law said they couldn't crucify. Only the Romans. And then David said, I can count all my bones. What's that about? Now, we know. Because remember, they broke the bones of the thieves. But when they came to Jesus, he was already dead. So instead, they stabbed him in the side. And then David said, they divide my garments. One for you, one for you, one for me. But then he said, they cast lots for my clothing. Now, I'm confused. Did they divide them? Or did they gamble? If you read John 19, they did both. They were dividing his garments, and then they came to the inner garment, which was very valuable, and they said, let's not rip it. So they gambled over it. Now, here's what actually happened. Jesus is suffering on the cross, and he sees them. He sees them. He says, hey, that one's really valuable. I don't think you should rip that. I'm just teasing. You know what I think? I think Jesus was the Messiah. I think he was the one that God intended to send. Another passage in Zechariah chapter 11. So according to this prophecy, God Himself will be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Not Jesus, but God. Yeah, that's what it says here. Now, how much did they give Judas for betraying Jesus? 30 pieces of silver. Not 29. Not 31. 30 pieces of silver. I like to imagine the Pharisees. A few weeks later, they were reading Zechariah. And they read Zechariah 11. And they read 30 pieces of silver. They think, oh! Why is that 30 pieces of silver? Oh, they're frustrated. Because they fulfilled the prophecy. Now, in the book of Acts, it says, many of the Pharisees became Christians. Now we see why. But it also says, the money that was was used to betray the Messiah. Throw it to the potter. El fundidor. Now, what did they do with the money? Judas says, I feel terrible what I did. So he gives back the money. And the Pharisees say, we can't keep that money. Because it's blood money. So he threw it to the ground. And what did they do with that money? They bought the potter's field. You know what? I'm beginning to think that our skeptic is a little nervous. How can you explain this? I think maybe Jesus is the Messiah. There's many, many more verses, but we're going to read just one more. It's in Daniel. This is a very interesting prophecy in Daniel. It says 70 sevens. And in Hebrew it's 70 sevens. No semanas, 70 sevens. And it's talking about the Messiah. How do I know it's about the Messiah? Because the word anointing, that's the word Messiah. That word right there, in Hebrew, that's the word Messiah. So this is definitely about the Messiah. And here's what Daniel says. There's going to be a decree to rebuild Jerusalem. Well, when was that written? Well, if you read in the book of Ezra, chapter 7, there was a decree. A guy named Artaxerxes. And he said to go and rebuild Jerusalem. Rebuild the wall. Now, that was 100 years after Daniel that Artaxerxes said that. It was in the 17th year of Artaxerxes. 17th. 17 año de. The year was 458 antes de Cristo. All right. 70 times 7. That's 490. All right. So 458 BC. All right,
77.
So that's the year 32 AD. No, not exactly. Because there was no year zero. In other words, Daniel prophesied that the Messiah would come to Jerusalem and be killed for the forgiveness of sins in the year 33 AD. Well, that seems pretty exact. That's 33 AD. Well, that's pretty exact, don't you think? Because that's when Jesus was killed. So according to the Old Testament, if anybody wants to say, I'm the Messiah, they have to be born in Bethlehem. They have to be raised in Galilee, somewhere near Nazareth. They have to be despised and rejected by men. When they're killed, they can't say anything. They have to be pierced and crucified. And their clothes, they have to be divided, but also gambled. They have to be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, and probably hardest of all, they have to be killed in Jerusalem about 33 AD. Now, can you think of anybody? ¿Puedes pensar of anybody? Who fits all these requirements? Oh, yeah. I think it's Jesus. Remember Jesus said? That all the prophecies of the Messiah, I need to fulfill them. And he did. But that's not all. There's many more. Hundreds more. Because not just in specific prophecies, but in many, many other ways, Jesus was predicted in the Old Testament. Historical prefigures and prefigures of the Messiah. In John chapter 5, verse 39.
En Juan 5:39
dice, ustedes estudian con diligencia
las escrituras porque piensan que en ellas hayan la vida eterna. Y son ellas las que dan
testimonio en mi favor. Sin embargo, ustedes no quieren venir a mí
para tener esa vida. So Jesus said to the Jews, así que vosotros estudiáis judíos. You've been reading your Bible your whole life. Y han estado leyendo
la Biblia toda la vida. And you missed the main point.
Pero han perdido el punto principal.
This Bible you've been reading, it was written about me. Now, when we look at the prophecies, that's looking pretty convincing. But that's not all. The Old Testament is filled with stories about Jesus. Now, we don't have much time, so we're only going to look at two of those stories. The first one is in Numbers chapter 21. For this, we have to turn to it. Yeah. All the way from 4 to 9. 4 a 9.
Los israelitas salieron del monte Hor en dirección al Mar Rojo, dando un rodeo para no pasar por el territorio de Edom. En el camino la gente perdió la paciencia y empezó a hablar contra Dios y contra Moisés. Decían, ¿para qué nos sacaron ustedes de Egipto? ¿Para qué nos murieron en el desierto? No tenemos ni agua ni comida. Ya estamos cansados de esta comida miserable. El Señor que tendió esas piedras venenosas que los mordieron y muchos israelitas murieron. Entonces fueron a donde estaba Moisés y le dijeron, hemos pecado al hablar contra el Señor y contra ti. Pídele al Señor que aleje de nosotros las serpientes. Moisés pidió al Señor que perdonara
Testament. You read this story, it's an interesting story. But let me tell you, this story is about Jesus. I guarantee it, this story is about Jesus. Now the people are wandering in the wilderness. You would think they would be happy that God saved them from slavery. But no, they're complaining. Why'd you bring us out here, Moses? We don't have any bread. There's no water. And we're tired of this food. God was not happy. So he sent snakes in and they bit them. Now I have a question. How many snake bites are required for you to die? Just one would be enough. In this story, the snakes represent sin. So the people are bit and they start dying. And they say, Moses, help us out! So Moses goes to God. He says, God, what should I do? And God says, make a bronze image of a snake. And put it up on a wooden pole. When the people look at it, they'll live. Now imagine you're Moses. This is really confusing. Because God, you said, never ever make an idol. And now you want me to make an idol. Of a snake, which is a symbol of sin. Okay. So he does it. And the people look at the snake. And they live. Now, Moses had no idea. He had no idea what this is about. But we know. Because we can read John chapter 3, verse 14. In this verse, Jesus says exactly the same. Just like Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, I too will be lifted up on a wooden pole. So when people look at me, they will have life. So this story is about Jesus. There's one part that's a little confusing for me though. Why would God choose a snake to be a symbol of Jesus? That's a little confusing. But then I can read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, where Paul says, God made Jesus, who had no sin, to become sin on the cross so that we could have eternal life. Alright, now I understand the story. The problem is sin. How many sins are required for us to suffer death spiritually? Oh, I gave it away, didn't I? One. What's the only solution? To look to Jesus, who was lifted up on a wooden cross. And while he was on that cross,
y cuando estuvo en ese madero,
he took on all your sins.
Tomó todos sus pecados.
So, see, Jesus is all over the Old Testament.
Y Jesús está en todo el Antiguo Testamento.
So who is Jesus?
Entonces, ¿quién es Jesús?
He's the Messiah of God.
Es el Mesías de Dios.
He is the Savior of mankind.
Es el Salvador, el Salvador.
One more verse.
One verse one.
Genesis 22.
Genesis 22.
Yeah.
1 through 10.
Después de un tiempo, Dios puso a prueba la fe de Abraham. Lo llamó por su nombre y le contestó: aquí estoy. Y Dios le dijo: toma Isaac, tu único hijo, al que tanto ama, y vete a la tierra de Moria. Una vez allá, ofrece el holocausto sobre el cerro que yo te señalaré. Al día siguiente, muy temprano, Abraham se levantó y ensilló su asno. Cortó leña para el holocausto y se fue al lugar que Dios le había dicho, junto con su hijo Isaac y los de sus siervos. Al tercer día, Abraham alcanzó a ver el lugar desde lejos. Entonces les dijo a sus siervos: quédense aquí con el asno. El muchacho y yo seguiremos adelante. Adoraremos a Dios y luego regresaremos. Abraham tomó la leña para el holocausto y la puso sobre los hombros de Isaac. Luego tomó el cuchillo y el fuego y se fueron los dos juntos. Poco después, Isaac le dijo a Abraham: padre, ¿qué quieres, hijo? Le contestó Abraham: mira, dijo Isaac, tenemos la leña y el fuego, pero ¿dónde está el cordero para el holocausto? Dios se encargará de que haya un cordero para el holocausto, hijito, respondió su padre. Y siguieron caminando juntos. Cuando llegaron al lugar que Dios les había dicho, Abraham construyó un altar y preparó la leña. Luego ató a su hijo Isaac y lo puso en el altar sobre la leña. Pero en el momento de tomar el cuchillo para sacrificar a su hijo, el ángel del Señor lo llamó desde el cielo.
Let's read verse 11, I guess, yeah. First, yes. No important. So, we can see here that the Old Testament is filled with stories about Jesus. And the different people represent different things about Jesus. Now, in this story, who does Abraham represent? Abraham represents God, the Father. And who does Isaac represent? Isaac represents Jesus. Ah, now I understand. Because God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. Do you know where Mount Moriah is? That's the mountain where they built Jerusalem. Right, so God asked Abraham to sacrifice his one and only son on the exact same mountain that God sacrificed his only son. Do you think that's a coincidence? Or do you think the Messiah is in the Old Testament? Jesus is in the Old Testament. Now, how do you think Abraham felt about killing his son? I don't think he was very excited about that. God did not want to have his son killed. But he did it. Then they set out for the mountain of Moriah. They left. They went to Cesalion. And 3 days later, they arrived there. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says that the Messiah had to die according to the Scriptures. All right, see that in Isaiah 53 and Psalms 22. But then Paul also says the Messiah had to be raised from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures. It took me 20 years to find that prophecy. It's right here. Because when Abraham went to Moriah, in his mind, his son was dead. And on the third day, he received his son back from the dead. And now they arrive at Moriah. Let's look at Isaac for a while. Let's look at Isaac. Isaac. Notice this. Isaac carried the wood up the mountain. That was going to be used for his own sacrifice. Can you think of somebody else? A son? An only son? Who carried the wood up Mount Moriah? That was going to be used for his sacrifice? So again, this is a prophecy about the Messiah. And how did Abraham get Isaac on top of that wood? What do you think happened? Do you think maybe Abraham knocked him out? I don't think so. Abraham said to Isaac said to Abraham, "Where's the sacrifice?" Abraham said, "You're the sacrifice." And Isaac said, "Not my will, but your will be done." And he tied him and he put him on the sacrifice. Now, I've run out of time here. So many more examples of Jesus in the Old Testament. Men and women who tell the story of Jesus. I wish I had to have time to talk about Moses. The parallels between Moses' life and the life of Jesus, it's a very long list. We'll put this list up at my website. The story of Moses is the story of Jesus. Moses was in the palace with his father, the Pharaoh. But he saw his people in slavery. So he willingly left the right hand of his father to come and live with a bunch of slaves. That's the story of Jesus. And Moses set him free from slavery. Just like Jesus set them us free from slavery. And Moses took them through the Red Sea. He led them through the Red Sea. When they went through the Red Sea, they left captivity in Egypt. Slavery in Egypt. Just like us. We leave slavery when we're baptized. But I don't have time to talk about that. Or even about the miracles. Because the miracles testify to Jesus. And we know Jesus worked miracles. I just want to go to one passage. It's in John chapter 11. It's about the resurrection of Lazarus. Okay? I think it's there, yes. John 11. Yeah, in John 11, I assume many of you know the story. Lazarus had died. He'd been dead for 4 days. He was in the tomb. Jesus came to the city there. They said to Jesus, if only you'd been here, you could have prevented his death. But Jesus says, don't worry. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will have eternal life. And he will live even if he dies. And Martha says, I know about the resurrection. But Jesus takes them out to the tomb. To a tomba. He takes them to the tomb. He says, pull back the stone. And they say, Jesus, that's a really bad idea. It's been 4 days. It's not smelling very good. Jesus says, pull back the stone. That's what Jesus said about your life. Your life was stinking. It was stinking really bad. And your friend said, it's not looking too good. But Jesus said, pull back the stone. And he said, Lazarus, come out. That's what he said to you. He said, you come out of that place. And he left that smell behind. And Lazarus came out. And the material they wrapped around him was falling off of his body. It was falling off his body. And then if you read in John 11, it says, and many people believed in Jesus. I'd say, I could see why they believed in Jesus. He raised Lazarus from the dead. But if you read the story, there were some other people there. They went back to Jerusalem. They said, we need to kill this guy. Why? Did they not believe that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? Yeah, they believed he raised him from the dead. But they said, we're going to kill him. But you know, that's what all of us did, right? At one time, that was us at one time. We're responsible for Jesus being killed. So here's my question. What's your response to Jesus? A lot of people say, Jesus, he's a good guy. He's one of the best guys ever. I like him so much. I'm going to go to church. Maybe twice a year. And I might even read the Bible once in a while. Maybe I'll read the Bible once in a while. But that response makes no sense at all. Because Jesus is the Messiah. How do we know that? Well, he was born in Bethlehem. He was raised in Nazareth. He was crucified. He was pierced. He was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. And in fact, he died in Jerusalem. 33 AD.
Today,
I think he's the Messiah. I think the only reasonable response is to leave your life of sin, to march out of Egypt, go through the Red Sea, and have your sins washed away. Now, if you've left Egypt, don't ever go back to Egypt. There's only slavery there. Thank you. Oh. Now there's lots of pictures of me preaching.
I know, right?
Okay.
Bueno, pues queremos agradecer muchísimo a Joe por la clase que nos ha compartido.